Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is End Times Friday, and this will be airing, I believe, the December the 13th.
Good morning.
So when this airs, you'll be, at least people will see your Christmas decorations there in the background.
Yeah, the End Times Fridays are going to be the only episodes that my tree is correctly decorated because the timing of our taping. But so everybody's going to see my tree for however many years, but there are indeed, as people know by now, there are 9 trees up in our house right now. And so everything looks like Christmas and it is a delight.
How did it go? I know you decorated the day after Thanksgiving. How did that go?
So much fun. So I guess I can go ahead and share this on air now, but decorating day, as everyone knows, is huge in our family anyway. So Thanksgiving was fantastic, by the way, great time, but decorating day, all the kids come, we go get the family room tree. We blast the downstairs. The upstairs was already decorated. And this year we had a very special announcement that took place on decorating day. And that was that Josh and Emily are expecting.
Yeah, that's neat.
So super, super exciting. Made that one super special. We actually now just found out a couple days ago that the newest baby Riccone is going to be a baby girl. Okay. So yeah, so much going on here to rejoice about. But that was just an amazing thing. And we have videos of the kids finding out and all of that. They just were so incredibly special.
When do they pick a name? Do they know yet? Or
they aren't going to tell us. They don't want. I think they have some top names already. I don't know that they've actually chosen, but they do have ideas of what they want, but they are not sharing with anyone, as I think they've seen too many friends share their names ahead of time. And then somebody makes a comment that, you know, poos it or whatever. So they have decided they'll just announce the name when the baby shows up. So
they don't want your input on that.
I'm assuming it's not our input that they're, you know, it must be someone else.
Okay. Gotta be, right?
Actually, we're really good about things like that. But I do know they're wanting to sit on that one and not tell anybody until it's actually time. So, but we are so excited. I already ordered a baby bed for my house. So
get ready.
I know. They're laughing at us.
We had 20 people over for Thanksgiving. It was a
nice,
wonderful time. What we do is we decorate the house for Christmas because there's so much, and particularly because we had a Christmas party afterwards. We just had that as well, except the dining room table and the living room. We leave up as Thanksgiving fall.
Right.
And then when that's over, the next day we convert those two rooms.
Mm-hmm.
To Christmas. And we had to get ready for a Christmas party that we actually had already. And we had 28 people for that.
Wow. Fun.
And this was all the leaders of Abiding in Colorado and the people that have been coming to retreats that are relatives of those. So that was fun to see that. And we did a ugly sweater night and a karaoke night.
Oh, that's a riot.
And it was hilarious.
I bet.
It was hilarious. We had
so we went the opposite direction. We did not have all the adult Christmas party fun, although there were adults there. And this is a classic, Rich and I talk on here all the time about having margin and making sure you're paying attention to whatever. We failed miserably, by the way, this last Thanksgiving weekend. We absolutely failed, but we learned from it and we'll pay better attention next time. But we hosted Thanksgiving Day and had Josh and Em and then a couple other families over for that. That was a delight. Then flipped in the very next day, we're hosting Decorating Day with the kids. And so all of the things that go into that, also a delight. And then for some reason, we thought we had the capacity to host a party the very next day as well.
My
and had multiple families from the church over with their young kids. And this is a Christmas party we like to do for them. And we'll set up gingerbread houses and letters to Santa. And we have all kinds of food and we have crafts for the kids. And then we set up games for the kids. And there's adult fun in the mix of it all too. But it really, like young kids, especially that early elementary age, love to come to our house at Christmas. And so we make it just super special for those families. And they're all families that we mentor and have taken through Abide and everything. So it's such a sweet time. But I am telling you, Sunday, when we got home from church, we did not want to leave the couch. All we did was just sit. We were like, what were we thinking? 3 days in a row of hosting was, you know, that was too much even for me. Live and learn. We really thought we had it. We're in my mind, so logical, you know, in my mind, we were already having all the things set up. We were already in motion. So why not just throw one more on the end of that? And then it's just one cleaning the house, one grocery shop and pulling the trays out, one, you know, all the stuff. I was so wrong. We were so tired afterwards. So, you know, live and learn, right?
Yeah. The good news about our party was that the people, because we had 28, so we had to move some tables around and stuff. And afterwards, they actually stayed and helped put everything back.
That's awesome.
Cleaned up the kitchen, you know. So Linda was really, you could go to bed rested and not have to face that today. So that's good. Well, we've been, you know, talking about end times. And we had Eric and Pastor, or Rabbi Ephraim on. And they talked about Iran. There was a threat that Iran was going to retaliate from Israel's retaliation.
Right.
And remember, escalate everything.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, probably not likely, because they discovered, and probably Israel already knew this,
mm-hmm.
that Iran had built their military plan on aggression, but not on defense.
Right. Which was fascinating to hear. I had no idea.
Yeah. And so they were vulnerable and Israel could fly their jets into Iran. And they actually took out a nuclear facility that wasn't, you know, given and reported properly so to the United Nations, because they remember they're supposed to say where all the facilities are.
Right.
Well, they didn't report this one. Mm. Israel knew about it and took it out. That's why we haven't heard about it on the news.
Right.
Because Iran didn't admit it, but they did. And they recognize, oh, if we wanted to, I'm talking to Israel, Israel could go in and just attack wherever they wanted to because there's no defense there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they predicted that Iran wouldn't do it and that Hezbollah, which is in Lebanon, who's a proxy of Iran, everything's being run by Iran,
right,
would work toward a ceasefire, which they were working on.
Mm-hmm.
And the condition was Israel would say, yes, by the way, and remember, there's all kinds of information going on. But one of the motivators in Israel is to get those people. Remember, he talked about the people being displaced and having to live in hotels and stuff.
Right, right.
He said, well, there's a pressure within the country to move them back and to get everything settled so that, you know, tourism maybe could come back. So they agreed to Israel agreed to the ceasefire. As long as Hezbollah moves north of what's called the Latani River, because their missiles then, you know, won't lob it and they have to stop, you know, their missiles.
Right.
And they said, we'll agree to that. And you go back there. But if you cross that river again toward Israel or you attack us in any way, we're going to come in and take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got that. Remember, even that condition,
right?
That and they'll agree to it if, and they and mm-hmm. they said okay, they agree to it. So everything is at peace at the moment. There's not going to be any retaliation from Iran. There is Hezbollah has agreed. They're going to start moving their people back, and they're going to try to get back to normal and see, you know, how that goes. So I wanted to.
Now, have there been any issues since the ceasefire that have some little skirmishes or anything?
Yes.
It seems like there have been, right?
Yeah, because remember, you know, there can be pockets of. Like Hezbollah. Yeah, we know the leaders. By the way, most of the leaders are gone because of what happened with the walkie-talkies.
Right.
But there's pockets that, you know, basically ignore that. And they did attack. They did
and
attack
just
Israel.
Just doing their own thing.
Yeah, okay. After the ceasefire, they did attack. And Israel went in and wiped them out.
Okay.
And everybody said, okay, sorry.
All right.
So, you know, they're going to defend, you know, their position. So it'll be interesting. But what I wanted to do was to set up, you know, two things. One is that Israel has a military might that was biblically stated as going to be so when they return.
Right.
And they've established in the Middle East a military superiority on both offense and defense. And so that's true. And then we're going to talk about...
Which, again, is incredible when you think about the size of Israel.
It's remarkable.
It is amazing what their military is, right?
Yeah, it's really remarkable. And what God has given them. But that there, and there's going to be a peace, but it won't be a long-lasting peace. And I'm going to talk about what we know about where it's headed. So, first of all, let's go to Ezekiel 37, 1 to 10. This is the dry bones coming back to life. And so go ahead and read that, and then we'll talk about that.
Sure. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army.
So remember, Christ said, when asked by the disciples, this is in Matthew 24, well, when is all this stuff going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, well, the Father hasn't told me exactly when it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it because remember, John was able to go see it. So he was taken to that time. It is going to happen.
Right.
He said, and Jesus said, it's going to happen. He said, you'll know when the signs are when the Israel returns as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
And this ties to Ezekiel 37, that it's laying there. And then all of a sudden it forms back up as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And then life comes into that person. And he said, that's it. And then he and read verse 10 again, because this is what I wanted to highlight about it is, you know, look at just a simple statement in verse 10. What does it say?
Sure. I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army.
Yeah, an exceedingly abundantly over-the-top, spectacular army, military, that comes about as they return as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me give you, you know, some information about that. Is that Israel, of course, on the offense, they have the latest missiles that can launch, you know, from Israel and mostly from jets.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so good at pinpointing where they want to hit those that they can.
Right.
And so they can fly and hit them. And they've got other countries like America, even Iran, Russia, they've got offensive weapons. So they would be, let's say, equivalent to any of those offensive weapons.
Okay.
But the superiority is on the defense.
Mm.
So think of the problem. What's the problem in Israel? Everybody around them is attacking them with missiles.
Right.
And we're talking hundreds of missiles, thousands of missiles every year, all the time.
But they have this amazing Iron Dome, right?
Yeah. Well, they have four levels of defense.
Mm-hmm.
One is the Iron Dome, and that covers all the short-term missiles.
Okay.
So Hamas and Hezbollah typically would launch these short-term missiles. And from Gaza would be Hamas. And from, it was supposed to be north of the Itani River, but they went across it and they were lobbing it from next to Israel.
Right.
But the Iron Dome would protect him. And think of, again, the Iron Dome as a gigantic, all of these, by the way, are gigantic video games. And what happens is that a missile, comes up. They can see it. They will, based on what they observe, they'll predict exactly where it's going to land. If it lands in a rural area where there's no people, they'll let it hit. If it's going to hit a populated area, there's these 20-year-olds that have grown up on video games.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically play the video game and just shoot it out of the air.
Right.
And they're 99% accurate, So that's the Iron Dome. Well, they've got three other levels.
Mm-hmm.
One is called THAAD, 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 and that's for short and intermediate missiles.
Okay.
Then they have David Sling, which is intermediate and long-term missiles, and then ELRO, which is long-term missiles.
Wow.
So they've got four levels of defense that they decide, first of all, where's this coming from, mm-hmm. and how powerful is it? And one of those four defense mechanisms will basically shut down the attack, and they're not able to thwart it, even though they get it all the time.
Hmm.
And for example, I was communicating with Eric about setting up a schedule.
Right.
And he generally will respond within, 30, 40, 50 minutes, but I didn't hear from him all day. And at the end of the day, he said, "I'm sorry, but I was down in the bomb shelter."
Yeah. As if it was just very normal. Sorry, couldn't get to you. Yeah. I was in the bomb shelter.
I'm out now and I can talk to you, so it was typical. Well, it'll be interesting to talk to Eric and them. We're going to have them on and tape them for January, but given that the peace has now occurred, what are they going to do? Trump's said, "Hey, we got to go get our hostages." So that'll be interesting to talk about that. What do they think about the Hezbollah being able to honor the truce?
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you think Iran's going to do? Because remember, in the context of it, which they understood, and Eric actually spoke this, is that even if this with this peace environment at the moment, it's not going to be long because we know what's going to happen. And part of that is that the world turns against Israel and they have the mm-hmm. Battle of Armageddon. So I'd like to bring that out.
Sure.
And then tie those together. So Revelation 16, 12 to 16. These are verses of what's going to happen at the end.
"Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon."
So he's talking about that they gather in the valley of Megiddo of Armageddon to set mm-hmm. up the last attempt. And again, as you look at this, they will keep trying with missiles
mm-hmm.
and technology, but they're not going to succeed because of what God has given Israel, which is an exceedingly great army and an exceedingly great capability. So they try, they can't. And they decide, we're thinking of this backward.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to use technology, but they actually have superior defending technology. We can't get to it.
Right.
So let's just go back to conventional warfare and let's just have people march against their people because they can't defend against all of a massive army. And they gather 200 million army soldiers
mm-hmm.
to go against a nation of only 10 million. And they say that, they won't be able to stop us. So they gather in the Valley of Megiddo. And I've been there, actually, so you could see it.
Mm-hmm.
That, it could hold 200 million people. It's amazing.
Wow.
Okay, so go now to Revelation 19. And I think it's, 17?
21, yeah. "Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, 'Come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh.
Yeah, so that Christ returns, he's the white rider on the white horse, and mm-hmm. he returns and first of all takes care of the false prophet and the Antichrist.
Right.
And then they destroy everybody else. And they're all killed. So 200 million are killed. And then this is described, Revelation 14:17-20. Now, by the way, keep thinking this Revelation wasn't written sequentially.
That's right.
So there's various details that kind of go back and forth about an event that occurs. So just because we're going back to Revelation 14, it's talking about this event, and it gives some detail about it. So Revelation 14:17-20.
Then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, who had power over fire, and he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs.
So it's talking about the Battle of Armageddon. Mm-hmm. And the blood is so high of everybody, 200 million people who are killed with the blood, it rises up to the head of the horses. It's that slaughter, you know, that occurs. So when we look at that, there's two things. All right. Now, if there's a battle of Armageddon and it's against Israel, what does that mean has happened to Israel? They survived.
Right. Right.
They're there. And there's a final attempt. Remember, it's principalities and powers, and Satan with the Antichrist and the false prophet has gotten the world to come against Israel, but they're there, and let's eliminate them, and we'll have this battle. At that moment is when Christ returns.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, and this is interesting, when people say, "I'm praying for Christ's return," I said, "Well, you're at least 7 years away."
Yeah, because good point.
He doesn't come until the end of the tribulation.
Right, right.
And these things happen, but he does it, and then he saves Israel, and everything is now defeated. The Antichrist and the false prophet are dead. Satan is locked up, and the millennial or the millennium for 1,000 years starts reign on earth with the Jews who are remaining to repopulate the earth. And by the way, it says we come back with Jesus and reign with him for the 1,000 years. So it's going to be quite interesting, you know, for us to happen. But
hard to get your head around all of that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So what we're trying to connect here is that at the moment, because of Israel's superiority, the enemy has kind of said, okay, let's just call it what we call a truce. We won't attack you. You don't attack us. And
so
let's
quiet it a bit.
Let's just go to a quiet place of quietness. Now there's all kinds of other stuff going on with Syria and Russia, and you know there's all kinds of things that are happening that doesn't mean it's going to be very peaceful.
Right, wars and rumors of wars, right?
Right, but Israel is going to have this moment where it's peace. But what I wanted to tell everybody is be careful not to assume, okay, good, that means we're headed toward this really positive time. No, the world turns against Israel and everybody comes against them because of this Battle of Armageddon. So the truce and the peace is not going to last very long.
Right.
And it'll be interesting to see how it plays out with the plans of, because the question is this, at the moment, you know, you've got the United States, which is, you know, through Trump's going to support Israel, which is good, I believe. Saudi Arabia and the Sunnis are favorable toward Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But the Shiites are the ones that want to keep defeating them. And because of Israel's superiority, they put them in a position where they really said, you know what, it doesn't behoove us to keep attacking Israel at the moment.
Right.
So we got to be careful, though, to think, well, okay, good. We're going to be in for this lengthy period of peace. And because of what the Bible says is, well, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to keep understanding that. But Israel has been given this superiority. And we're going to talk to Eric and Rabbi about this further. With that superiority, where do they think it's going to go in the short term? Mm-hmm. And they'll be able to tell us underneath it all what's really going on and what's really in play.
That'll be so fantastic. Yeah.
It'll be really interesting. So, Father, we thank you for the truth. You've restored Israel to life, and you've said you've given a superior army, and they have. They have superior defense. It's remarkable. And so we rejoice at that. And then we understand there is this peace at the moment, but we'll be excited to know what you're going to give us as wisdom and insight about what's ahead and how we can watch these things play out. And we praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich. Always fascinating and just great conversation to look at this. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.